276.
Guide us, O Thou gracious Savior, pilgrims through this barren land. We are weak, but Thou art mighty.
Governments and
places to lead. But also in the church, he has given leaders in the form of shepherds, elders that care for the flock, look after the flock. And Peter, indeed, was a leader. He wanted to shepherd the other disciples. He even sought to shepherd the Lord a few times. And he cared very much for the Lord's people. And oftentimes, he got himself into a little bit of trouble when he spoke, but he still had a shepherd's heart. And the Lord knew it. The Lord was nurturing Peter along. He had things for his people, then we have to learn some lessons. The Lord would teach us certain things. But perhaps we can look at a few things, we don't have much time, in Peter's life that would help us. First one I'd like to look at is Matthew 14 and 29. And he said, "Pete, come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Here we have, you might say, dependence on the Lord in spite of our present circumstances that we are in. Here, the Lord was walking on the water. If we could picture ourselves in the position the disciples were in, a stormy night, say in the Bay of Fundy, or any water, and fearing, they were trembling, they thought, earlier on, they thought maybe it was a spirit. They saw something coming on the water. And they were afraid. And Peter, being the shepherd that he is, he, in the 26th verse, the disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." They cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." Peter wanted to prove who it was. He wasn't about to have anyone come aboard that ship that might harm them. He was protecting them. And when the Lord said to Peter, "Come, walk in the water," Peter put his foot down and he started. But you know, when he saw that the waves were rough and the condition of things, his faith wavered a bit and he started to sink. You know, that's like us sometimes. We go through a trial and we should remember here that the Lord never leaves us nor forsakes us. And he has his eye on us all the time. He's watching us. He's watching Peter and the disciples in that ship. No harm was going to come to them. No harm was going to come to Peter because the Lord had his eye on Peter. But Peter took his eye off the Lord. And sometimes we do that. And sometimes the circumstances that we are in, you might say, reverently speaking, we get that sinking feeling. It's like Peter, we start to sink. What am I going to do? It's too much for me. We all have circumstances where we feel like this. If you're a child and you're in school, perhaps you're faced with a common thing today is what they call bullying, where another boy or girl may pick on a person, call names, call that. But if you just look to the Lord, look to the Lord, because He's there, He will pick you up from that circumstance. He'll give you the strength to go through it. And could be somebody else that's worried about a job, and they're going through school, and they graduate, and they don't know what they're going to be working at or if they can find work. And that's a trying circumstance for a young person. Or maybe it's a partner. You're trying to pick out a partner for yourself that you're going to spend the rest of your life living with. That can be a trying circumstance. But you know, the Lord is sufficient for every circumstance that we find ourselves in. Even one like this, where it seemed impossible for Peter, the Lord reached out and grabbed Peter. Peter wasn't going to sink as long as the Lord was there, neither will you and I. But sometimes we've got to recognize that we need the Lord's help. We can't do it on our own. We don't have the strength in our own selves to rise above circumstances when they come along. Could be a marriage problem with some. That's common today. There's all sorts of things. Could be health. Could be old age. Have to leave your home going into a care home or something. So people of every age may have a circumstance that can trouble them and just don't know what to do about it. Well, the Lord is sufficient. This was a lesson, I believe, that Peter learned. If we turn to Peter, 1 Peter, Peter chapter 5. In verse 7, Peter could say here, I believe he learned this from his walk with the Lord and in the pathway, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. When the Lord reached out and grabbed Peter's arm, Peter saw that the Lord cared for him. And he knew that he could cast whatever care it might be upon the Lord, and the Lord would take care of it. And so Peter has passed that good news to us along in his book. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. So we are able to do that. We have it written here where the Lord took care of Peter. And He's able to take care of us, whatever circumstance may come along in our pathway. The other thing I would like to look at is watching. We have that in Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. And verse 33. These three that mentioned here, the Lord took them aside a lot when in His pathway. Either all three were leaders, but Peter seemed to be the one that took the lead among them all. It was always Peter that would speak out first. And verse 33, it says, He taketh with Him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Went away forward a little, fell on the ground and prayed, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou will be done. Cometh, findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, spake the same words. When he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. He cometh the third time, saith unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest. It is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. This little portion here, I enjoyed a thought in it. I don't know if it's scripturally true or not, but I enjoyed the thought. So the Lord came on that first watch, and he found them sleeping. I look at that as a sleep of complacency. You know, when the Lord Jesus appeared on the scene, the nation of Israel, they were asleep. They weren't looking, or they weren't watching for the Messiah to come. They were sleeping. They weren't looking and watching and waiting. There were a few, perhaps, that were, but the nation itself, they weren't watching. The second time the Lord Jesus came, he saw that they weren't watching. He told them to watch and pray. So he told them, you need prayer. It's not just naturally watching isn't enough. You need to be in dependence upon God. You need to ask God for grace to watch. So he asked for prayer. Well, you know, when he came the second time, I believe it's a picture of the rapture. He came three times. And when he comes in the rapture, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. Five were wise and five were foolish. Five had oil in their lamps. They were real. The other five were just profession only. But you know, it tells us that they all slumbered and slept. All 10. And you know, if today we're living in a day where the church, in general speaking, is not dependent upon the Lord. If you read 2 Timothy, we find the condition of things today is everything but dependent on the Lord. Man is doing everything that he thinks is right in his own eyes. He's going on the way that of the world in a lot of cases. And so when the Lord Jesus comes in the rapture, there will be a remnant that's going to be watching, but I believe not the whole church. It's going to be found asleep. When he comes a third time, I believe it's the rest of the nation he's talking about here. Sleep on, thou take thy rest. He's already looking at the work of the cross being finished. And we know that Israel is going to enter into the rest because of that work. And so the third time, you can say, it's your rest. But anyway, we should be found not only praying, but also, or not watching, but also praying. We have a verse to look at in connection with that. 1 Peter again, 4. Perhaps First Peter 4. Perhaps Peter is speaking of this. You know, he says here in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And so perhaps Peter learned in that time there in the garden that prayer was needed. It wasn't just the watching, but to watch on the prayer. And so we need to be dependent upon the Lord as we journey through this sea. We're not going to be able to expect that we can be ready and watching using our own strength or the flesh. We need to be dependent upon the Lord. We have a nature that God has given to us that's a dependent nature and wants to do things that's pleasing to the Lord. We've got too much time, so I maybe skip a couple here. And I think I'll perhaps go on to this one. Mark 8 and 31. Here is learning the lesson of that the flesh in us has no profit, or profit nothing, that is, in the pathway. And so we have verse 31. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spake that saying openly, and Peter took him, began to rebuke him. When he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And so here we have an account of Peter, you might say, misspeaking, that he had a natural love for the Lord, Peter did. He didn't want to see any harm come to him. And when the Lord spoke about going to the cross, suffering, naturally, Peter's natural heart kicked in. And he really rebuked the Lord. He didn't, said, not so, Lord. But our natural hearts can be the same. I've gone to attended funerals before where somebody has passed on from this scene into eternity, and somebody has spoken about the person that has gone, and during their life that person showed no evidence of ever being a Christian, of ever having any desire in the Lord's things at all, but they would bring out some of the natural things that the person was noted for, perhaps some kind act that they did. And because of a certain amount of works maybe that the person did that they thought were good works, and they exalted him up into heaven. Well, that's the flesh speaking. That's the flesh speaking. No one wants to see anybody leave this scene and go into a lost eternity. But once a person dies, it's too late speak to them about salvation. I've seen that. It's a sad thing that a person, not only does it speak wrongly about the person that has died, but it gives the wrong word to everybody in that's there for that funeral. It sends the wrong message that, well, perhaps if I do my best, I too can be accepted in heaven. There's no gospel message given. Well, that's wrong. So here we have Peter speaking naturally, and you know, the Lord rebuked not only Peter, but Satan too as well. He knew the root of it, where it was coming from. And oftentimes when we, Satan knows that our natural desires are put ahead of spiritual truth. It gives an opening for the enemy to come in and use that to dishonor the Lord. And we might do that with different things. It could be in a funeral, like I mentioned, it was dishonoring to the Lord. It could be somebody that's seeking to be restored, or you want to restore someone. And maybe the natural flesh in us maybe hinders that. I'm not saying that somebody that perhaps is put away from the Lord's table that we shouldn't show love. I'm not saying that. I think we should. And perhaps something could be said to the person from the Word of God that would help restore the person's soul. But just to speak from the flesh alone, without any direction from the Word of God, would end up perhaps just like it did here. And what he was trying to do, really, was prevent the Lord Jesus from carrying out the work that the Father gave him to do. Where would we be if that happened? We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have salvation. So it was a serious thing, what he did. But the Lord knew that, and Peter, I'm sure Peter was restored in his soul. And in connection with that, I'd just like to look at 1 Peter 4 again. And just the first part of the 11th verse. It says there, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Or, oracles really means revelation. Well, Peter learned a lesson, so he gives it to us. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That is to have God's blessing in what we say. There was a time when Peter spoke the truth, and that's recorded. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18, a wonderful revelation that we have there. Looking for the verse that says, yes, it's chapter 16. In the 15th verse of chapter 16, he said unto them as disciples, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. What a difference. Flesh and blood hadn't revealed this truth to him, but his Father that was in heaven gave him the truth. And Peter gave it out. And the Lord could say, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Not a rebuke like we just read about, but instead a blessing. And so it's like us sometimes. We speak, and perhaps we don't have God's mind in what we say, and it's just only from the flesh, the natural flesh, something that we might desire ourselves. The other thing, perhaps, important that we have is in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and verse 27. This is perhaps a lesson of exalting ourselves to a higher level than we are. And Peter exalted himself above his brethren here. Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I shall smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. We know all the disciples forsook the Lord when he went to the cross. But because Peter took the lead, as he often did, the Lord Jesus spoke to the leader. And oftentimes it's a leader that the Lord has to bring more correction to, because he is in a higher place of responsibility if he's going to be a shepherd and to look after the flock. And so the Lord Jesus, he spoke to Peter, he addressed Peter. And we know what a lesson that Peter learned out of this, that the Lord told him that before the cock would crow, he would deny him three times. And we know that happened. That was true. And if we look at, I think it's Matthew's Gospel. Chapter. Luke 22. Sorry about that. Luke 22, I was thinking of. In verse 61, it says, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter went out and wept bitterly. It just took that one look from the Lord Jesus, a reminder of what Peter had said, was enough to restore Peter. His soul. He wept bitterly about that. He knew he had what he had done wrong. And it was through this schooling that Peter went through that the Lord could address Peter in John chapter 21. We'll just look there for a moment. Died on the cross, and he rose again, that some of the disciples, they went back to their old ways, their old occupations that they had. And it tells us here that the second verse, that they were together, Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana, Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Here we see Peter's mentioned first. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth, entered into a ship. Immediately that night they caught nothing. Well, here they were going back really from the commission that the Lord had given them. And the Lord was very gracious. He approached them and he told them to let the net down on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they did so, and they drew it in. It was a multitude of fishes. What I was more interested in was the 15th verse. When they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. And so the Lord had something for Peter to do. He was a shepherd. He was a leader. And he wanted Peter to feed his lambs and his sheep. Peter could be trusted by the Lord to do this. The Lord knew he could trust Peter. And Peter didn't like having to be exhorted three times. Sometimes when we sit under the sound of God's word and we hear the same thing, perhaps it's repeated, and then somebody else repeats it again, and short time after we hear the same thing, sometimes we get a bit annoyed because we don't like to suffer the word of exhortation sometimes. But here Peter suffered the word of exhortation from the Lord. He heard it three times. He was grieved about it, but he suffered it, and the Lord knew that Peter needed it, because it wasn't the first time that Peter was called to serve and he went back into his old ways. We find in the book of Peter again, in the closing, I'd like to look at Second Peter. Chapter 5. And we saw that Peter was a leader. He took the lead. But you know, a good leader is also needs to be a good follower. And he learned, the Lord Jesus said, follow me. He exhorted Peter three times to follow. You know, if a natural leader is going to be a good leader, he has to take commands from the head. If it's in Canada, the captain in chief, the chief commander would be Stephen Harper. If it's in the United States, the chief commander there of all the military would be Barack Obama. And so whatever that administration might decide to do militarily, they would call in the generals, they call in their leaders, they would give them direction, and those leaders would have to go forth and carry out that instruction. If they didn't do it, and if they carried out something different than what they were instructed to, it could cause a lot of damage. And so they were instructed to, they'd be instructed to carry out from their leader. So here, Peter learned to listen to the chief shepherd. We have a chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus in glory. He's our chief captain. And he can say here in chapter 5, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. You could say that, yeah, I'm a leader. The Lord has put him into this position. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. You know, the disciples, they didn't enter into the sufferings of Christ when he was here in this scene. They only entered into the glory part. But here, Peter puts the two together. Sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that she shall be revealed. He didn't understand that he had to go to the cross for the nation of Israel, and for even for their own souls, to have their sins purged away. They didn't enter into that truth at all until after. But we can say, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall be receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so here it says we're all to be subject one to another in the fifth verse, with humility and so on. And so Peter learned these things, and we can learn things too from Peter as believers. Another one in closing was just read a nice verse in 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." You know, it tells us there are faithful men that whose faith follow, and that we can look up to in Scripture, and certainly we can look up to certain ones that Apostle Paul, different ones in Scripture, but the only one that's mentioned that says for us to follow his footsteps is the Lord Jesus. If we follow his footsteps, we can't have a misstep. We can't do anything wrong if we follow his steps. And so Peter learned this, and so he writes it down to follow in his steps. It wasn't all the time that Peter followed in the Lord's steps that he learned to. He learned to follow the instruction that the Lord Jesus had given to him. And so it might be with us that we would follow and along in the pathway that the Lord has marked out for us, but we would be found not only watching, but praying. And have our eyes looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming soon. May we be found faithful when that shout is given.